It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than deny, admit. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Pip is out for the foreseeable future. She's seeing other shows. No, I don't know what she's doing. She's at a show tonight. On the show, we will interview one of the owners of Scamming Scammers, which is an anti-scam Facebook page, who believes Facebook is targeting anti-scammers. Equifax has a data breach. We'll talk with Ed Lewis, who just came back from helping Hurricane Harvey victims down in Houston. And we have a huge stink for Rush Limbaugh. But first, I want to get to something that was revealed. Apparently, I mean, this has been suspected for a long time. There were Russian trolls trying to interfere with our election. They posted ads on Facebook, and Facebook denied this for the longest time, but then they had a change of heart. I'll play the clip, and then we can discuss from there.
First tonight, it sold ads, political ads, during the presidential election to a so-called Russian troll farm that was trying to influence the election in American voters. This is Congress continues to probe Russian interference in the election. Facebook has been facing heavy criticism for being a platform for fake news during the election. And the company said, 99% of the information on their site was true. They said only a, quote, very small amount was fake. Now we're learning tonight at least $100,000 worth of ads were sold around the election to the troll farm. Some of these ads directly mentioning the candidates, Clinton and Trump. Others talking about divisive issues like guns and immigration. And out front tonight, the top Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, which of course is conducting a major investigation into Russian meddling in the election, Senator Mark Warner. Senator, thank you for your time tonight. I know you say this Facebook news is important to your investigation. Why? What does it tell you?
Well, for months I've been wondering, Facebook, Twitter, how much were they used by some of the Russian trolls? We've asked these questions. We got a preliminary answer today. I think maybe we saw the tip of the iceberg, where Facebook acknowledged that they found about $100,000 of Russian-placed ads and a number of pages that they will subsequently, in groups that they will take down. I think that's a good first step, but it really pales in comparison to the fact that before the French elections, Facebook took down 50,000 accounts that had one tie or another to misinformation and disinformation. So, I think Facebook is learning along the way. I think it really raises a series of questions, though, about a number of social media firms, and we've got to talk to Twitter as well about making clearer about public disclosure. I think the public needs to know what kind of misinformation and disinformation might be appearing on their Facebook newsfeed or their Twitter newsfeed.
And you think this is the tip of the iceberg? Are you referring to overall social media, or you think Facebook could be finding a whole lot more money that came from Russian trolls trying to influence the election?
Again, this was a staff interview today. I've got a lot more questions to ask. I believe this was a fairly narrow focus. They discovered one of these internet troll farms that was based in St. Petersburg. There have been reports that there were many, many more. And again, as you kind of broaden the scope of this kind of inquiry, you may find more evidence. You know, I'm happy that Facebook came in. I've got more questions for them. I've got questions for Twitter. And this is an area that's going to require a lot more examination.
Now, let me follow up on that. So Facebook just admitted that's what we were listening to right there. Now, in May, we learned that our intelligence officials were looking into whether Russia used Facebook to influence our election by targeting certain populations with propaganda. In May, Facebook said it has no evidence of them taking money from Russian troll farms. In July, it is reported that the House and Senate intelligence committees, as well as our Justice Department, is investigating whether Trump's digital campaign helped Russia target Clinton. In July, Facebook told Wired.com that they found no evidence of Russian entities buying ads. So in July, they're saying there's no evidence of this buying ads for the election. Later in July, Senate Democrats on the Intel Committee were convinced that Facebook had the answers to whether the Trump campaign and Russia colluded. Facebook once again states that they have no knowledge of Russian ads and ads purchased during the election. Now they admit it. Now, I don't want to get into the whole whether Trump's team was colluded with them or not for two reasons. First of all, we don't have the answer to that. We'll find out soon enough. So I'm not going to argue about that. And I don't feel like fighting with Joe right about now. So so I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Facebook's role on this. Why would Facebook deny, admit? It's like I told my daughter, if you're going to lie, be good at it. You just can't give up the ghost. Why would they do that, Joe?
I think because they were probably getting paid handsomely.
Well, you think that's why they denied?
Yeah.
Well, they got over 100,000. They got about 100,000 for the ads.
You know, and he probably tried to deny. And when the evidence was becoming more and more, maybe I guess he probably had to admit it.
See, I kind of agree with you. I think they realized Mueller or the Senate committees were going to subpoena them, and they figured, well, we better give up. We better tell them now instead of denying. But they did admit it. We know it's a crime to use foreign money to influence our elections. Foreign money to influence our elections is a crime. I got to think, if Facebook knowingly did this, they could get hauled into court, don't you think?
They could probably get hauled into court. Look, we discussed before in a segment earlier, we were talking with our friend Ed about bands and how you used to promote. And if you want to promote a band or you want to promote your comedy show or anything like that, where you did not have to pay before, you have to pay now to boost the posts. They're doing that with private people or a band or something like that. You think if they're going to get an offer from a foreign entity where they know they can make a lot of money, or an entity posing as something maybe domestic, that they would be all in on it? Maybe as things developed and either, number one, they knew about this, or they discovered it might be a Russian entity. That's maybe why they were denying and then finally had a cop to it.
So it's kind of interesting that you bring up the money factor, because I think that might be what it comes down to. Because in the past, we know I've reported on Facebook's tolerance of pedophiles. We've reported on that. Well, I've reported on Facebook's tolerance of pornography and animal cruelty on their platform, even though all these things violate the terms of service. In the past, we've had the conversations, well, is it incompetence? Is it Facebook being understaffed? But as you said, maybe it's just about the money. Maybe we need to reevaluate how we're looking at Facebook. Maybe Facebook is just about the money.
What everybody forgets about Facebook, people forget that Facebook is not a public entity. It's an entity that is created for the public, but it is not a public entity. It is a private business, and they go about things their own way. They do business their own way.
Right, but they put out this aura that they have these terms of service which you need to follow, and then all these illicit things are going on their platform. And we know they either knowingly allow or they're very slow to take down. So I think over time their trust has been eroded. I've certainly done my part to erode trust.
It's like any other, big corporate entity. Sometimes, they think, they put out that they're all about this, and sometimes they're not. In this case, I believe it was a case of the money.
So you think they knew all along?
I don't know if they knew all along. I think they just took the money and said...
But shouldn't they? If they're taking money from somebody, shouldn't you know a little bit who you're taking money from?
If you've got the money, you figure it's going to be coming from you think it's coming from a reputable source.
That sounds very naive,
if
Joe.
If they're posing as a legitimate political entity... All right, and they take the and I'm being the devil's advocate here. They could either be taking it and knowingly doing this, but if they're going to come out and go, we knew nothing of this, so let's go with that saying. Well, we took it from it was a public entity. When we got it called on the carpet about it, we said no. We feel that this was not from a foreign entity. And as they researched it, they discovered, hey, maybe it was. And maybe cop to it and said, look, I see you smiling.
You're really giving the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not saying it's gospel, but just for argument's sake,
that's the argument.
Is a point that may have happened on that end.
Now, we've seen in the past, we again reported on this show, which is why if you are just starting to listen to the show, you should really listen to the podcast. Go to davinsden.com, listen to the old shows, because we drop the knowledge, kids. Look at me trying to sound cool, Joe. It's awful. But we know...
like an unhip uncle.
Sorry. Really, we're referring to you as the hip guy now? Boy, are we don't you have another Flintstones
impression? I never claimed I was. I never once said I was.
The only hip you have is the one you're going to break moving your rig in 2 years.
Understood. Okay. Yes, but okay. I never claimed I was.
Fair enough. Everybody's in the barrel. Okay. Well, we've shown in the past, Facebook has shown they're exceedingly difficult to work with when it comes to removing obvious scammers on their platform. In the past, anti-scammers have felt Facebook has been very hard on them and even deleted their legitimate accounts and pages that were used to try to combat scammers. Mm-hmm. We know Facebook makes money by advertisement and sales, and the more people on the platform, they can say, hey, the more people that are going to see your ad. We know some scammer syndicates have a lot of money. We know all of these things. We now know Facebook took money from Russia to influence our election. We know this now. This can no longer be argued because Facebook has admitted it. Do you think Facebook will pretty much do anything for the money, including breaking the laws?
Yes.
All right. Well, in our next segment, we're going to interview somebody who owns the anti-scam site, Scamming Scammers. He goes by William, and I think he, too, agrees that Facebook will do anything for the money. Don't go anywhere. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. On the phone with us, we have William, who is the one of the owners of an anti-scam webpage on Facebook, and he feels like perhaps Facebook has targeted him and other anti-scammers. How are you, William?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Very good, man. Thank you for joining us. What's the name of your anti-scam page?
It's Scamming Scammers Action.
Scamming Scammers Action. Now, that was not the original name of your page, was it?
No, the original name was Scamming Scammers, where we had over 40,000 fans.
That's a lot of people.
Hmm.
It is, yes.
How do you feel about local independent bands? Do you think you could get some of them to go to some shows or no?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, perfect. Everybody's a winner on this show tonight. just trying to make everybody happy, Joe. That's what I do.
Right.
So you had 40,000 followers. What are some of the services that your page provided?
We do cybercrime education, romance scam education. We teach people what to look out for as far as fake profiles. We help victims that have already sent money. We try to stop people from sending money and, you know, let them know if a profile is fake or not and how to really just help themselves to, you know, examine these profiles and see if they're real or if they're fake.
So how, I mean, this sounds like it's quite labor intensive. How many hours a day do you, I believe you have one other owner, yes?
Yeah, Ann is the page owner, my fiance.
Okay, great. How many hours do you or Ann spend on trying to help people, educate people, whatever the case may be? How many hours a day?
You know, on a busy day, we go anywhere from 10 to 12 hours. At Scamming Scammers, at the height of their popularity, we were going up to 15 hours a day, just, you know, cranking out inbox, helping people. We usually had 200 to 300 people in our inbox in any given day.
Wow, and this was all volunteer? There's no money coming in for you guys?
Nope, no money at all. We did it all for free. It was a labor of love.
So I feel that education is the best way, and I know you guys are big on the education, but sometimes people, it's too late. They don't know until they've been scammed. So what do you do with somebody who comes to you and they're still sending money to a scammer, but they think something's a little off? What do you do in that situation?
You know, we try to show them proof that the profile is fake. You know, a lot of times we'll tell them, look, this is the real man in the photo. This isn't who you're talking to. A lot of times we'll ask them where they sent the money to so we can try and find the real scammer and put a face behind it and say, this is who you're wasting your money and your time on. You know, sometimes people won't believe you. Sometimes you just have to do your best. At the end of the day, it's ultimately up to them, but we try our best to show proof. We're all about showing proof. And, you know, if they have sent money, then we show people where to go to file reports with the different authorities, police departments, whatever they need to do to, you know, the money's gone once it's sent, but at least if we can show proof and get those people to block these scammers, and, you know, our day is done and we've done a good job.
Well, I would imagine at the height when you guys had 40,000 or so likes and followers and you guys are spending 10, 15 hours a day helping people, I would imagine this could put a little bit of a dent in a scammer's workday. I would imagine you're making things a little bit more difficult for them. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree. We've had actual scammers come to our inbox and say, because of you, I didn't get my $10,000. We stopped one transfer over $100,000, and that scammer came after us and tried to find us. And so we know we're making a dent. We know we're making a difference when the scammers are coming to us saying, hey, quit what you're doing or we're going to get you.
So what happens when a scammer decides that you are in their crosshairs? Do they threaten you? What happens?
We've gotten threats. I actually got a scammer that's first, I don't know how he did it, but he got my personal phone number. He would call me 40 times in half an hour.
Oh my God.
Threatened voodoo on me, threatened to curse me. They've come to the inbox sending pictures of decapitated bodies saying, this is going to be you, we know where you live. You know, it's mostly verbal threats. And the way I see it is a lot of these scammers are over in West Africa, so if they want to come over to Australia or come over to the United States where I'm at, well, good luck to you.
Well, you do know that some of these syndicates, though, they do have people here all over the world. I mean, theoretically, they could come after you. What you're doing is dangerous.
It is, and that's why we tell people not to bait scammers, let the professionals handle it. And we've had scammers that have syndicates in New York and things like that, but it's a risk that we take to help victims, and it's a risk that Ann and myself are both willing to take to try and help anybody that is being scammed.
So you know for a fact that scammers have targeted you. Like, when you get targeted by scammers, can you go to local authorities and show them what's going on? Can you get any type of protection? Can they try to stop them? What happens with the local authorities?
Local authorities, I actually went to the police because I was threatened by a scammer. Like I said, the one that got my phone number, and the police basically kind of laughed at me and said, well, you know what? Maybe you should go off the internet and not go online. So, no, we don't get protection. We don't get any help. It's a taboo subject. If anything, police kind of, you know, laugh at it and say, well, you know, you brought it on yourself. So,
all right. Well, this does not sound like good decisions that you and Ann are making as far as your own personal well-being. I mean, it's noble, but not very bright. I mean, I do crazy stuff, too. I'm no better than you guys. You guys know some of the nonsense I get myself involved in. But, yeah, nobody's sending me decapitated pictures yet. So you guys are certainly getting their ire. So now, do you report to Facebook what's going on? Because, I mean, it's on their platform. You guys are on a Facebook platform. It is owned by Facebook. Do you alert Facebook, hey, this is what's going on your platform?
No, because Facebook could care less. You know, as far as like reporting profiles or reporting threats, we have reported in the past, and they come up to us and say, thanks for letting us know. You know, you're helping us to improve our quality, and that's all we get from them.
That's all you get from them.
That's it.
But you feel that now, because you don't have the same page you have. What happened? What happened to Scamming Scammers, the one with 40,000 likes?
Scamming Scammers, I was actually on live Danish TV doing an interview about Facebook and about romance scams, and they shut us down. We've been shut down twice before, done an appeal, it came back. This last time, we were not given that option. We were not given any kind of option. And in fact, both of our personal profiles got a ban for 60 days, I believe, and for messaging, that type of thing. And they took the help button right off of my personal page.
Wow. Now I know you guys have been targeted. Actually, years ago, I think this is before, this might even be before you knew Anne. Anne was being harassed on some page. I don't know if it was your page or another page. And I came to her defense to help Anne out. And next thing we knew, there was like profiles, matching profiles of both Anne's page and my page in Arabic, which is fun. And like everything we posted would be like, it would just be like, if I posted something right now, like, hey, William's going to be on the show, it would immediately go up to the clone page in Arabic. And it was just Ann and I that were targeted for this. And I contacted Facebook. First of all, it's ridiculous to try to get in touch with Facebook. You don't really get a lot of answers. But I think those pages are still up there. Do you know if Ann still has that Arabic clone page?
I'd have to ask her. I haven't seen the Arabic clone page. I did hear the story about it. It was about a year before I came into the picture. But scammers do that. They'll clone our page, or they'll even just steal all our stuff and say it's theirs, and that they'll help for a fee and that type of thing. So, I mean, it's possible it's still up there.
But, I mean, think about it, though. I mean, you guys are helping people, but at the same time, people are commenting on your page, liking what you do, and it was a public page at the time. I don't know what it is. The Scamming Scammers Action, is that a public page?
It is, yes.
So even when people like and comment, they're, you know, for unscrupulous people, they too could become targets of scammers. Have you seen that happen where people were just commenting on your page, supporting you, and then they were attacked?
Absolutely. And we do post periodically on our page saying, you know, if someone contacts you saying they found you on our page, you know, let us know and make sure you block that person. We've had scammers actually contact victims who have written on the page, and they'll say, oh, I can find your scammer for a fee, or, oh, you're so beautiful, I saw you on Scamming Scammers Action. So we do warn people, and scammers do troll our page. It's an open community page. It's not a group. We keep it open so that victims can find us, but they do put the risk out there to being contacted by scammers.
Now, circling back to you guys getting shut down, When you get shut down, at least as I understand it, Facebook has to give you a reason, inappropriate content, something along the inappropriate behavior. Were you guys given reasons when you guys got flagged?
The last time we got shut down, they gave no reason, they gave no option for appeal, and they gave us no way to contact them. No.
So one day the page is just gone.
Just gone. Yeah, we tried to contact the help, you know, at Facebook, disable that Facebook. One time when we contacted them, we got a reply back saying, thank you for letting us know your photos are not working. We'll check into this. It wasn't even about the subject that we contacted them about.
So you've never really gotten a satisfactory answer from Facebook?
No, never.
Now, I know other anti-scammers. I don't know if you and Ann feel this way, but I know other anti-scammers have voiced to me that they feel Facebook knowingly helps scammers. Is that something you believe?
Absolutely. I believe, you know, they're helping scammers. They're giving them options. We can send money via Western Union into chat instantly now. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of pages and groups on Facebook that are both open and closed that trade credit card numbers, social security numbers, all of these things. When you report those pages and those groups to Facebook, they remain open, and Facebook says it's not a violation. So definitely they are helping scammers. They may be getting money from them. Who knows?
So you think that's interesting, because we were just talking about even Joe came around on this one, that he thinks Facebook knowingly took money from Russia. He was giving the devil's advocate article argument, but he thinks
it could be either or. Yeah, but wouldn't surprise me at all.
So why do you think Facebook would knowingly help scammers and target scam victims? I mean, because that could tarnish Facebook's reputation. Why would they do that, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's about the money. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't care about you, doesn't care about me. He cares about money, power, you know, ad-related traffic, making money for the company. They have all of these great, you know, resources saying we're going to protect this and that. But at the end of the day, they're making money. They're about making money. They're a for-profit company. Money and power corrupts everything, and that's what I think is happening with Facebook.
I got to present this side of the argument, though. Now, you guys were shut down, but there are other Facebook anti-scam groups, some larger, some that are much smaller, that have been allowed to flourish and continue to thrive on Facebook. Why would Facebook, say, allow those to continue but shut down your site?
Well, there's a lot of sites online that do pay for their advertising. One of the bigger anti-scam pages, well, you know, I won't mention the name, but he's got hundreds of pages. He pays for his content. He pays for advertising. He pays for boosting posts. And he's made it clear on his page, you know, we do pay advertising. We are a company. We have money to do this. I think it boils down to money. I think if, you know, we're a mom-and-pop type of anti-scam group, we're very personable with people, but we're not going to pay a dime to Facebook to advertise our posts.
Have you guys ever experimented to see, like, what would happen if you guys started to kick them some money, if you started getting some Facebook intervention on your behalf? Has that ever crossed your mind?
We thought about it, but honestly, I'd rather just help as many victims as I can. If we get shut down, we'll come back. I'm not going to throw money at Facebook. I'd rather throw money out the window or down the toilet than ever give it to Facebook.
So in your opinion, Facebook is dirty, is corrupt, is taking money from scammers. Why even continue to have your platform there? Why not get a website and host it yourself and do all the good things that you guys are doing out of the reach of Facebook?
Well, that's what we're going to do in our future. We're working with a web designer right now to try and build us a website the way that we want it, to have it, you know, secure. So for right now, Facebook's just a platform for us. In the future, it's going to become just a little advertising spot for us. We're going to direct everything to the website. It takes time. It takes money. I work more than 80 hours a week. Ann's very busy. So we're slowly getting our website done, but we're going to do it the way we want it, and then hopefully direct everybody off of Facebook. Because I think Facebook, as far as in the future, is going to become the MySpace of our generation. It's going to go out. And hopefully the website will grow, build, and we'll do really good there.
So if people want to check out the work that you and Ann are doing, where can they find you now?
They can go on to Facebook. They can type in Scamming Scammers Action. And we have our page there for now. And, you know, if they need help, our inbox is always open. We answer, you know, every inbox daily. So if anyone needs anything, we're there for them.
All right. Well, William, thanks for hanging out with us and checking in. I think you certainly gave the folks a lot to think about, you know, this compiled with what we talked about with Russia and my experiences through the years. Mm-hmm. Certainly might make people look at Facebook differently. Again, well, none of us have any proof per se. We just all have our experience.
But at the end of the day, like I said, it's a public forum for it's a private company with a public forum.
Right.
You know, and money, they got to make a profit. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but eventually as they grew, they realized that they need to pay bills, they got staff, and they're looking for ways to make money.
And they might be doing it on the backs of people trying to do good stuff.
Not a good thing.
No. All right. Well, William, we wish you and Ann the best of luck. Thank you for your time.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Take care.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, we roll right along. Okay, we'll continue along the cyber theme tonight. Very cyberific. Equifax says a giant cybersecurity breach compromised the personal information of as many as 143 million Americans. So it's about half the country, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber criminals have accessed sensitive information, including names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and numbers of some driver's license. Additionally, Equifax said that credit card numbers from about 209,000 U.S. customers were exposed, as was personal identifying information on roughly 182,000 U.S. customers involving credit reports disputes. Residents in England and Canada also were affected. The breach occurred between mid-May and July, Equifax said. The company said it discovered the hack on July 29th. He was doing the arms.
Inside, folks. Sorry. Had to say it, though.
Had to be there. I've ruined the seriousness. Equifax is one of three nationwide credit reporting companies that track rates and financial history of U.S. consumers, especially when you want to buy a house, right, Joe?
Well, that's what makes me a little bit nervous, because this happened exactly when I was going for my mortgage and they were doing all the credit checks.
And you're just the type of guy they would do it to. You have that type of luck.
Yeah.
The companies are supplied with data about loans, loan payments, and credit cards, as well as information on everything from child support payments, credit limits, missed rent and utilities, payments, addresses, and employer history, which will factor into credit scores. So basically, you don't even have to sign up for Equifax. They just got your info.
Yeah.
The company said that it learned of the attack in July, but did not publicly disclose any information about it until September. We'll just see if it blows over. But three Equifax executives...
Because they're going, how are we going to explain this?
We're not. We're going to scram.
The truth, that's going to slow things down.
But first, three of us, we're going to sell about $1.8 million in stock before we announce a thing, because that won't look dirty.
Yeah.
The company denies that the executive had any knowledge that intrusion occurred at the time. If Facebook doesn't know what's going on with Russia ads, Equifax has no idea.
Because like I said before in the other segment, they're both big companies. That's the way they do
things. I expect better, Joe.
Not out of a big company.
Lord, we are screwed. Equifax gets its data from credit card companies, bank retailers, and lenders who report on credit activity of individuals to credit reporting agencies, as well as purchasing public records. Equifax is mailing notices to people whose credit cards or dispute documents were affected. It says that consumers can check to see if they've potentially been impacted by submitting their name. Why not submit more to them? Or the last six digits of their social security number. Yeah. Don't you have it? How about we contact the hackers, you hack?
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask them, stupid?
Exactly. Just cut us out. We're the middleman of this.
Yeah, what do we know?
Exactly. The hackers know more than we know.
Yeah.
Users are given a date when they will be enrolled in free identity theft protection. That's what you do! Equifax is free identity protects you against identity theft. You're the guys! You're one of the guys! They got the security people, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Did you see there's fine print on there that if you do that, you give up your rights to any
lawsuits? They waive that. They waived that.
Oh, they did?
For this thing. Yeah, they kind of had to. They didn't want to be Martin Shkreli. So right now there's at least six lawsuits seeking class actions suit, and they're saying this could be $75 billion. I say anybody can be hacked, and I've talked about how the Pentagon is hacked. It never occurred to me that this would happen. It should have occurred to me. It didn't occur to me.
Well, you can't worry about everything.
Apparently, I need to. Apparently, I'm the guy, because Equifax isn't.
Going to add that into your tossing and turning at night.
Okay. Going to do a lot of cardio as I try to sleep.
Toss and turn about this one tonight.
Have you checked? You said you were concerned. Have you checked?
I am concerned. No, I haven't had a chance. But
why would you? It's only your future.
But this was smack dab when I was going through the process of getting the mortgage for the house.
What do you think is more stunning? Equifax getting hacked? Our election getting hacked? Or the Pentagon getting hacked?
The Pentagon getting hacked, because you would think that there would be more encryption protection against that than because it's national security.
That would be.
And I'm talking about major, major encryption, major, major, you know.
Major encryption. Reporting to duty, sir.
Sir, yes, sir.
Major encryption.
Major encryption.
He's the dorky major that nobody wants to talk to.
Court-martialed.
He can't do calisthenics, but he'll work IT for you. It's major encryption.
Major encryption. Dismissed for KP.
KP.
KT. I mean PT.
You mean IT, stupid.
IT. No, you're going from PT to IT.
Aye.
You were supposed to have KP, but we gave up KP for IT.
This is PU. we're making fun of your misery. Anyway, I was thinking about this, and I think the one that surprises me the most is Equifax, and I'll tell you why. Because you figure the Pentagon, you're going to get all these foreign agencies like China, North Korea, Russia. Right. They're going to hire the who's of scandalous people to try to break into the Pentagon.
Right.
And it never occurred to me that Equifax would be a target. It should have, but it didn't. What do you think of the members selling the stock before the breach?
Because they knew about it. Why do you think they dragged their feet before they made the announcement and suddenly stole the stock? I mean, it stinks on ice.
Well, maybe they thought the hackers would give it back and go, oops, my bad.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with Ed Lewis. He's a do-gooder. He went down to Houston to help Hurricane Harvey victims. A nice guy on this show. We'll see how that works.
This is Davin's Den.
Thank you guys for hanging out. Joining us in studio, Ed Lewis. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
So it came to my attention that you came down to Houston. You went down to Houston, which is a lovely city, just not when it's underwater. Why did you go to Houston?
Well, I mean, as everybody knows, they just got destroyed by a hurricane. Not only Houston. I mean, Houston's getting a lot of the limelight right now, but...
Duh, and I'm sure they wanted it. They sent out press releases.
Yeah, I mean... You know, we drove down the route that we took. It drove us along the whole Gulf
Coast. You drove from where?
New Jersey. We left Friday morning at 12 o'clock, and we got back yesterday at 3:30.
Good Lord.
It was 26 hours down, dropped the stuff for 25 minutes, and turned right back. It took us like 30 hours to get home.
You know they have FedEx.
Whatever.
Not like a good road trip.
I don't know about going to a waterlogged city, Joe.
I don't know. I mean, I have family that was down there.
Did you see your family?
My cousin's actually a coordinator for logistics for HEB, which is one of the shopping chains down there, like a ShopRite or A&P or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had touched base with her to find out, you know, I'm volunteering right now anyway. I volunteer. Part of my job conditions for what I have to do are volunteer with a various organization because of my injury. So
I thought he was on parole or something. I don't know.
It's basically, it's not much different than
you look lovely in orange, Ed.
So while I was, you know, volunteering at the American Legion VFW in my town, and I just got this wild idea of I'm going to Texas. And
you're a young guy. Most people get a wild idea. They get a couple hookers, some cocaine. We'll have a night of it. I mean, this is a little different than a wild idea. I mean, you're actually doing something good, and, you know, this is not...
Well, he's still a responsible family man, too.
I understand, but as a young man, a wild... there's plenty of... I'm a responsible family man. I didn't get in my car and go down to Houston.
You know what it was? Like, my friends are... I love trolling everything I possibly can online.
Do you work for Russia?
I might as well. No, right? It wouldn't matter.
All right, comrade.
But I just got this idea of, like, you know, all you see on the media and all over the place is just hate everywhere. It's perpetuated everywhere, and this group doesn't...
Have you listened to this show?
Well, which is why I'm here.
So you're pro-hate. just not when the media does it.
No, but I mean, you know, like, the hate that's driven in the media,
mm-hmm.
you don't see that on the ground, at the ground level. This narrative that's, or whatever's going on, is just not there.
Okay.
I'm not saying that the hate doesn't exist between certain groups. I mean, let's face it. You know, certain groups are not going to like each other for whatever reasons.
Right.
That's up to them. But this whole division in this country is disgusting, but it's manufactured division. And, you know, if somebody were to look at, you know, Joe or I, they would say, oh, wow, look, you guys are your bald heads or whatever. You must be, you know, Nazis or whatever.
No, they wouldn't think Joe would march. He doesn't have that type of stamina. Maybe if you put him on a float.
But I'm just saying that, like...
No denial, by the way.
They get a comfy chair.
Sure. you can eat some chips and throw out swastikas.
Jeez. They'll just, you know, people just have this quick to react snap of they're just going to judge you immediately. It doesn't matter what you actually do. It just matters what you look like right now and there. And I mean, I wanted to go down and see Houston firsthand. I mean, when I was 17 years old.
There's better times to do it. There's more to it than that. The average person doesn't go, let's get in the car and drive down to a disaster area. There's something. You obviously have this compulsion to do good, which is a good thing.
And it started very young. I lied at 17 years old.
That lies any good deed does starts with.
Well, I mean, at 17 years old, I was a senior in high school. I was watching the news. I was a news anchor for our high school news channel.
Oh, okay.
And so I was watching the segues and how everything goes through in my study hall period, and all of a sudden, you know, plane hits the World Trade Center.
All right.
I was on the fire department.
Okay.
I decided to get the other junior firemen that were in our high school. We just grabbed our stuff and went.
Okay, yeah.
So I was there for 4 days. I had no business being there, but something just drew me to that.
So you have that in you. All right, so you get down to Houston. What'd you bring with you for the folks?
So I started a campaign last week. It was I called it Hands In for Harvey. And what we did was it was just donations. I talked to my cousin to find out what do they actually need. And it's not food. It's not clothes because there's nowhere to sort or clean the clothes. Most of the people that give clothes give soiled clothes that are no good anyway.
Ugh, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Mm. And any space that they have right now that is usable is used for actual food items that they need because everybody, I mean, for instance, we're driving through, we hit the border of Texas, we drive through Beaumont, Texas, the entire town or city.
They got hit hard, Beaumont.
Destroyed. Mm. I mean, absolutely destroyed. There was... Every house had just mountains of garbage outside of it, but the people are still living in their houses that are now full of black mold.
We call that Detroit.
Well, yeah, or Camden. I mean, it's not very far from home.
No, it's
or
not.
Baltimore.
No, Baltimore's got nice places.
But we get there, and I'm looking at this stuff, and there's no aid anywhere, but these people are still sifting through this.
So there's nobody there to help them.
There's nobody there to help them. So we find out when we get to Houston. I talked to my cousin. I said, you know, we gathered what we needed, which was we were asked to bring down any baby food, diapers, feminine care products, pet food, stuff like that, because that's stuff that they cannot get because the American Red Cross is actually yanking that stuff from the suppliers.
Why? What do you mean they're yanking it? I don't understand.
So they set up these warehouses, these drop points where all these manufacturers, like General Mills, while we were there, brought in 10 tractor trailers of cereal products just so people had food.
Right.
The Red Cross comes in and takes that, and then they distribute it. So there's no, like, real grassroots...
Well, did General Mills have a way to distribute it?
No.
Okay, so somebody had to come in and distribute it.
Right, but what I'm saying is it's going to Houston, which I'm not saying Houston wasn't destroyed, but Houston wasn't nearly as bad as a town like Rockport, Texas. It's completely gone
off the map. So your beef is that the major city that gets all the press, Houston, is getting the majority of the finances.
When we were there, we were told flat out from the people that were in Beaumont that our supplies that we brought down are then getting... As soon as we unloaded them... They loaded them into vehicles to start traveling to Beaumont because they are reaching out directly because the American Red Cross isn't paying attention to any of them.
Okay.
And it's not just them. I mean, it's a lot of...
Now, are there local charities on the ground in Beaumont where people could donate to?
No, there's nothing.
So it's Red Cross running the show.
Because they declared it a federal disaster area, they run the show. You could go down there with a trailer full of stuff, and there's places where people that were trying to donate were turned around and said, you're not welcome here. We don't want your stuff. Go away. So we just did this very grassroots, very local. I just started a little Facebook page about it. I told people
Facebook page?
It's just look up Hands In for Harvey.
Okay.
We did that. I told people, you know, if you can donate any money to try and offset the cost, because I have to get a truck, I have to get a trailer, and then I have to drive down to Texas.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't make anything on it. We used up that money that was donated, and then we used part of our own money.
Right.
But we were able to get an entire U-Haul trailer and truck brought down full of stuff from just people's donations in like 6 days. And as soon as we got there, it was out the door.
And you handed that out to the folks in Beaumont?
No, we handed it to the distribution center that my cousin had through her church in Houston. They had a church set up and they were collecting stuff for people that, and they had a network of, you know.
So the churches are doing a better job of distributing it locally.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What was the most disturbing thing you saw when you were down there?
I'm big into like structures and architecture and stuff like that. And one thing that was wild was going through Beaumont, Texas. You could get on, I believe it was like I-10. And we're on I-10 and you look off to the side and there's a lift bridge for like the canal to get out to the ocean. And the lift bridge, the entire bridge is just knocked over.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, just steel, like the control hut, just gone. And then you're driving along, and there's these lakes. I don't know the name of the lake, but you're coming along the lake, and people have, like, RV campsites and all that stuff, and the RVs are just smashed into each other, flipped on their sides, shipping containers blown across parking lots, tractor trailers through buildings.
It looked like a war zone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. But, I mean, it's just crazy. And they were still pumping down the highways so we could get through. There were some parts where, like, only the eastbound or westbound lane was open.
They had to put both lanes on one, both directions in one lane.
There were parts where they were funneling us down to one lane because the highway was gone.
Wow.
So
what was the most inspirational thing or the thing that gave you the most hope while you were down there?
I would say a sense of community because it didn't matter, you know, I mean, it didn't matter what your skin color was, what your, you know, what your religious preference, political preference, everybody where we were was working together for one common cause.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that hate that people say is out there, like, you just don't see that. It's an unfortunate side effect of disasters is that's what it takes for people to come together now.
Right. Well, until they remember to hate again.
Yeah.
There's always time for hate.
But with a strong hurricane season, maybe there won't be so much hate.
Ed's going to stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
I got a you stink, Joe and Ed. Usually when I have a you stink or any of us have a you stink, it's something from our own personal life because Joe and I are dour people. But this is something that is a public figure that has caught my attention. And I'm glad Ed is here for this because, you know, we just talked to Ed about going down to the aftermath of a hurricane. So this you stink goes to Rush Limbaugh. Hold on.
You stink.
Makes it authentic when you do that, Joe. I couldn't have a fake you stink.
Version.
Yes, let me play this for everybody.
Radio host Rush Limbaugh put a surprising twist on Hurricane Irma that appears to be on its way to Florida.
And so there is a desire to advance this climate change agenda. And hurricanes are one of the fastest and best ways to do it. You can accomplish a lot just by creating fear and panic.
But Limbaugh's hurricane conspiracy theory didn't just stop at liberals pushing a climate change agenda. He also said on his talk show that they are a media plot for advertisers to sell their products.
Oh my God, it's bigger than the eye of the Haiti. Oh my God. People run to the stores, they stock up everything, and they hoard, and they end up with vacant stores, nothing there. And it's a big success.
Even Hurricane Harvey, that devastated Texas's Gulf Coast, wasn't overlooked by Limbaugh.
We can't forget Hurricane Harvey, because Hurricane Harvey and the TV pictures that accompanied that go a long way to helping further and create the panic.
After spending much of his show politicizing hurricanes, Limbaugh said he wished the news wasn't so corrupted. Limbaugh, who lives and broadcasts from Palm Beach, Florida, also took the time to complain that all the stores there are without water.
All right. So on Thursday, Limbaugh announced on his show that he'd be evacuating South Florida, which is where he lives and does the show, and will be off the air for the next couple days. All right. Here's why he stinks. He stinks because people actually take this clown seriously. People actually spend their days around listening to stupid Rush Limbaugh, and they think he knows something, but it isn't. They listen to him every day. They trust his worldview. He's so twisted that he thinks natural disasters, things not controlled by human beings, is part of a left-wing conspiracy. Which is what we would do. Not me, but left-wing people. He goes on and on about which undermines the authorities, including the Republican governor and the Republican president, who said, get out of town. So apparently, everybody's in on it but Limbaugh and the people wearing tinfoil hats. The authorities are trying to keep people safe. The news is actually doing their job and serving the public good, which many of us, you know, Ed was just talking about how he gets fed up with the media. But in this case, the media is actually doing their job and keeping people safe and trying to make sure that people aren't getting killed. But this right-wing hack tries to undermine it. And then he flees like a coward.
Well, I think when he also said, he goes, here comes a hurricane. Local media goes on the air. Big hurricane coming. My God, make sure you got batteries. Make sure you got water. It could be the worst ever. Have you ever seen the size of this baby? Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yes, you have.
It was called last week.
It's on the news. It was called last week.
It was.
You know, we saw people. Yeah, we need this stuff. And he ran down there with fake ass.
Well, I don't think Rush knew what Ed was doing.
Well, I know.
I don't think he checked in with Ed. He should have.
Yeah.
He should have checked in with Ed.
I mean, of course. Yeah.
In his defense, in Russia's defense, and I can't believe he's... You raise a good point. Maybe he does not know, and I'll tell you why. Maybe his head is so far up his rear end that news is not getting to him. Maybe that's what it is. But people listen to this guy. That's why he stinks. I think his message is dangerous. Listen, you want to attack the left for things? Knock yourself out. But to undermine natural disasters, things that kill people, things which Ed just saw firsthand, to undermine natural disasters, I think that is the epitome of evil.
I'm thinking, you know, the stock up on everything and the hoard when they go to these stores.
They're trying to live.
And let me tell you something. I mean, look, we had the hurricane up here. We had Irene and then we had Sandy, which was not, I mean, they were both devastating storms, but not to the extent.
Well, Sandy was the storm surge down on the coast. That wiped out communities.
But it wasn't to the extent. However, I was without electricity for 7 days.
I remember that.
Not like with these people. These people have it worse. But still, at 7 days, you're going through stuff. Matter of fact, when we had the big power outage about 10 years ago, I had $3 and enough to buy a slice of pizza, and that's all I had in the house. I couldn't go to an ATM to get more money. I couldn't get food. I had to make a deal with the pizza guy to sell me 4 slices for $3 because, you know, the power was out. And when something like that comes, I mean, you couldn't see a power outage, but when you know that a natural disaster is coming and you know that you're probably going to be without power for 7 days, you get the necessities you need. It's not propaganda to sell products.
And here's the thing, though. I think people actually, because they trust Rush, and we've talked about this on the show, where I've said, people in our position have a certain responsibility. We joke around. We say terrible things. But when push comes to shove, we don't want people to get killed because, quite frankly, it affects ratings, and we can't have that. But, I mean, when push comes to shove, you got to be responsible. And I'm afraid people did not evacuate because of this maniac.
Well, you want to know something? If you can't see, I mean, you should have enough common sense to take a look at Rush Limbaugh and know most of what he does is shock.
But they don't do that, Joe. They don't do that.
But if you can't, look, if you're looking at a Cat 5 hurricane coming in and you go, I'm not going to get it, you know what? You deserve it.
But his whole thing is, undermine the messengers. Undermine the media. And this is a dangerous part of what Trump does, too. I don't want to suck him into this, but this is a bit dangerous part. When you start to undermine the media to such an extent, you get people sitting at home who believe this, that the media is out to harm you, and they don't believe it's a Category 5. Listen, I was seeing things on Facebook by conspiracy theories that thought there's some secret agency in the United States called the Cabal that's controlling these things and making these things. They were people that believe this nonsense.
Well, you want to know something? They're not going to go out and get supplies, and they deserve it. It's stupid. They're believing stupidity.
Another problem, though, that you see going on with all this whole thing, though, is people just taking things at face value. Nobody is invested anything to do any research on their own, because in today's day and age, half truths and or alternative facts or whatever they want to call it is just accepted as gospel now.
I don't even think these are half truths. These are flat out lies.
I would like to believe that they are too, but
a liberal conspiracy to create hurricanes? We can't even win an election. We're creating natural disasters now?
You want to talk, but if you want to get into something interesting about that.
No, I don't. This is not the forum.
I'm saying about this whole creating, you know, there's so many different people are getting yanked in so many different directions that they don't know what to believe anymore. Because, like,
yeah, but you can't believe the guy who leaves town because a hurricane's coming after he tells you to stay.
I would say that I have a bigger problem, not with what Rush is doing, but with the businesses that are gouging people.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I mean, yeah, that's a whole different thing. And
so
I think
that ties into the business thing.
I understand that. But is Rush going to lose any credibility with his folks when he says all this nonsense and then he leaves?
Does he really have any credibility
to some people? To some people, he does. Not to me. But there are people who like... Listen, Alex Jones has credibility to some people. Some people actually believe his Sandy Hook nonsense. That was a thing. Some people actually believe that 9/11 was an inside job done by W. Bush. People believe stupid things. And I kind of sympathize with what Joe says. Well, you know, sometimes there are too many people on the earth, so it's not so bad to lose some. But all right, I think Rush is terrible. He gets my "you stink." Joe, where are you gonna be?
I am going to be playing with the band at some point in time.
Never mind. Ed, can people still help out on your Facebook page?
We actually have Hands In for Harvey is still going. I actually also started Hands In for Irma.
You're gonna need another slogan. I mean, that was H's.
Well, you know, things with eyes just start sounding weird, so.
We'll call Rush.
We got hands in for Irma. I'm still trying to coordinate a shipping because I just don't have the time off from work that I can drive down to Florida.
Right. Understandable.
So we're working the logistics, but the same supplies, again, the pet foods, baby food, baby diapers, wipes, feminine care products, stuff like that, not non-perishables or clothing like that. That's not what we're looking to collect. You can check out the Facebook page for Hands In for Irma or continuing on Hands In for Harvey because they are still collecting down there a lot of school supplies as well.
All right. Like us on Facebook, Davinson. Follow us on Twitter at Davinson. Hear the whole unedited show, the complete 3+ hours of the show. Go to davinsden.com, a whole bunch of places where you can listen. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.